May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll call him Smitty. You can call him what you like, but I'll call him Smitty. Smitty had a special talent that no one could either understand or copy. If ever he dropped a piece of toast, it always fell butter side up. Now, you and I know that never happens. Well, at least not to me. When I drop a piece of toast, it always drops butter side down and I have to throw it away and start again. If it fell butter side up, I could have picked it up and eaten it. Now, here's an interesting fact. Did you know that the length of time a person will allow a piece of food to lie on the floor and still eat it up once picked up is 6 seconds? Store that one away to stun your grandchildren. But Smitty's talent was becoming local legend, and he was constantly being badgered to demonstrate this amazing skill at all the local restaurants and bars, which got him some free meals and drinks. Then one person wondered if this kind of magic wasn't God-given and suggested he see the local priest. Well, being a good Catholic, he went along and demonstrated his toast-dropping talent to the Monseigneur. This worthy was also duly impressed and said he needed to pray about it and discuss its possible divine source with his seniors. Long story short, eventually the College of Cardinals in Rome get to hear about Smitty and wonder if he isn't some as yet unrecognized saint. They invite him over to Rome and ask him to show this unbelievable gift to them. So the papal toast makers get busy and Smitty drops piece after piece of buttered toast, and time after time it lands butter side up. Asked to wait outside for a while, the cardinals discuss and pray about whether Smitty should be canonized into the sainthood after his death, as he's clearly the recipient of an amazing gift of God. But first, of course, they must consult the Holy Father. Accordingly, after consultation with His Holiness, the Pope asks to see Smitty. Once again, the aroma of burnt toast emanates from the papal kitchens, and Smitty duly demonstrates his buttered toast dropping abilities successfully every time. The Pope goes off to his private chapel to pray and seek guidance from God. After a long while, he re-emerges and calls for Smitty once more. My son, he says, I am sorry to disappoint you, but the secret of your stunning ability has been revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. All the time when you and others thought you had been performing a miracle, you have been buttering the wrong side of your toast. Okay, so this is a somewhat long-winded and slightly irreverent introduction to a subject close to my heart, buttering our toast. And by this I mean covering over what matters most. Let me give you a biblical example. The snake in the Garden of Eden is metaphorically supposed to represent the devil. Now, whether you believe in the story of Adam and Eve as literal truth or not, we don't usually recognize snakes as capable of intelligible speech. This is both gloss and metaphor, and both are ultimately irrelevant. It is butter on your toast, and as such, hides the toast from your sight and, to a degree, your taste. To some, this makes the toast more palatable, but it hides the substance of the story, which is that there is a power for evil which has not only access, but often entry to us, and for which we must be constantly on our guard. In our book study with Norm Carroll this week, I challenged him on writing in his book that the Apostle John had certain intentions of a metaphorical nature when comparing the raising of Lazarus to the resurrection of Jesus. Again, I suggest to you this is irrelevant. Not only can we not discern another author's intentions, but this butter is disguising the fact of Jesus' ability to perform miracles and the fact of his resurrection. Like it or not, what we actually need is the dry toast of truth. The layers of implied meaning that we imbue on putative authors just adds more and thicker layers of butter to our toast until the toast is almost unnoticed. Now, metaphor can do that. I had occasion recently to consider the stance of a fundamentalist and biblical literalist whose beliefs would have us accept the absolute and literal truth of every word of the Bible without question and as the undeniable and unimpeachable word of God. Adam and Eve were real people. The world is only 6,000 years old. Axe heads float. Donkeys talk. Elijah went up to heaven in a real chariot, and so on. For my part, I don't care if you believe that, if it makes you feel comfortable, so long as you do believe in the resurrection. And if you do, then you must reconcile the paradox that you are accepting the powerful but only circumstantial evidence of the resurrection, whilst at the same time denying the much more compelling and factual and scientific evidence of the archaeological findings of the age of the earth and the universe. Now, it's easy to question the accuracy of carbon dating as a counter to the 6,000-year hypothesis, rather like joining the Flat Earth Society, but all this is doing is laying on more and yet more butter to the underlying message of the Old and New Testaments. Let's get back to the dry toast of truth and recognize that the whole purpose of the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, is to point us to the real person of Jesus Christ. That is what testament, and testis if you like, means, witness. And what is important, and ultimately, nothing else matters except that we see Jesus and understand his mission to save us from the evil within ourselves. As flawed human beings, I like to compare us to the yin-yang symbol that is a circle with a sine wave dividing it in half, a black and a white half. Within the black half lies a small white circle, and within the white half a small black circle, representing the precarious balance of our natures. Which will win, the good or the bad half? Ultimately, I think we will never be either perfectly good or wholly evil, but what Jesus came to do was to turn our small black circle white and so shift the balance of our lives over to the light which we heard about, whilst the devil tries the opposite with our white circle in his black half. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come," and "deliver us from evil," to keep us balanced in God's favour. Now, there's a metaphor you can play with. So today I urge you not to smother your toast with unnecessary coverings and irrelevancies, but to be like Thomas in today's gospel. Really see the risen Jesus, hold on to him, proclaim him your Lord and Saviour, And don't spend pointless hours or years dwelling on unnecessary topics that take your taste away from the nourishment of the dry toast of truth, which ultimately contains the seeds of your own resurrection. Remember, there was no butter on the bread Jesus broke and gave to his disciples, so there is no butter on the toast I give you today.